This is Limitless Possibility. I'm Yannick Magnan.
And I'm Luc-Olivier Dumablet.
And this week our topic is...
the state of the current, quote-unquote, mainstream social networks.
Interesting. But first, I have some brief follow-up. So this is going to be the final episode before the summer hiatus. We are going to return with episode 212 on September 10th. But definitely follow us on the Fediverse if you want the whole... shebang. So yeah, we're gonna take a couple of weeks off.
Yeah, and this week I kind of realized, I know you also had a busy week. I'm kind of eager with taking a summer hiatus this year, more than previous year, because especially this week has been pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think there's something weird in the horoscope or whatever, and it's fucking everyone up. Yeah, next up I have some follow-up for last episode when I was talking about the old computer challenge. We had joked that maybe I could edit the podcast on the EPC, and then I actually tried to do it, and I said, oh, Audacity is in the repos. That shit runs on Mac OS 9. It's going to run great, right? It wouldn't install. Well, actually, it would install, but it wouldn't run. And This brings up one of the main issues I have with Sleetha's Linux after about a week of usage, is that my hit rate for packages I would install from their repositories was very, very low. About half the packages I would install from their repo just simply would not work. And as far as I can tell, it's because they didn't really retest packages when their dependencies were updated. So most GUI applications I would install would just crash with a dynamic library error every single time it started up, which is depressing.
Okay, I was a bit saying fun, but sure, depressing is a viable word too.
Yeah, so I do appreciate like the core of the distribution that actually works really well with like the default packages, but once you branch outside of that and you start installing stuff from the repositories, your hit rate is going to be much, much lower, and that kind of sucks. But it was still a fun adventure. I didn't quite finish up my write-up on my website for this, but by the time we come back from hiatus, it should be up. So that's it for my follow-up. We can get right into the main topic.
Good. In the previous episode, we did mention a couple of times, like talking about Mastodon and different social network. It has been a recurring topic here and there. I think we will have an episode every maybe once a year, because for a while, I guess there was not that much drama. And I guess that started to happen a lot more frequently at the beginning of the year. So
actually, it was back in November.
Yeah, let's go back just a sec for this, but you're kind of right, but the crux of it happened in 2023.
Depends what your leaving moment was. I haven't been on Twitter since November.
Okay, and I think I stick with it for a bit more up until the third-party clients died.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where I put the limit. So this week, I want to talk about the quote-unquote evolution of what has happened since the beginning of the year following the big event that was Twitter killing third-party client access. I say that, but it's nearly all API access in the end, but we'll talk about this a bit more. But yes, the catalyst of me personally moving away from Twitter, which I would consider, even if I'm active on other social networks, my main social network that I'm quote-unquote active to, I'm more of a consumer of the content on social network than a contributor, compared to Yannick, for example, or a lot of other people. But throughout the years, Twitter was the iOS dev community social network for me. And that's meant that's where I would spending a lot of time, even if I had other passion projects or passion topics like photography, like cars, I would still end up scrolling through Twitter a lot. But, you know, in the past few years, a lot of people have been mentioning like, oh, you know, the official Twitter client sucks, blah, blah, blah. And luckily for us, and I would say us nerds that love third-party clients, we got lucky up until early this year when Twitter decided to kill third-party clients with, 15 days notice? Not even No, it's like it happened over a weekend. Right. It just boomed. It happened. And I did not even try to install the app because in about a week after that happened, most of the people I was following or the most people that were creating content on Twitter that move quickly to Mastodon. Mastodon got a great boost of monthly active users and registrations because of that event. And I think last time they got the last time they had the big boost like this one that happened earlier this year, it was, I think, in 2017, 2018, when Twitter, when Twitter did something dumb again. I don't even remember what they did, but I remember 2017 is around like app.net and things like that.
That sounds right, yeah.
Right. So I forgot the reason of what happened, but app.net got created because of that. Mastodon got some push. So it was interesting to see at the beginning of the year when you would join Mastodon that you would find people you knew from Twitter or even like in real life friends, people that you have met, that they were a bit more precursor to this and they tried Mastodon 4 or 5 years ago when Twitter gave them another reason to try it before this big exodus because of the third-party client shutdown. Funnily enough, and I say that I'll try to keep a light tone and kind of try to be funny while making this like kind of an opinion episode. But in this new section of that episode, I'll try to keep a light tone even if there is a lot of depressing news and kind of depressing dumb decision that were made. Sadly, it seems that Twitter, all their recent or the past 6 months of decision have been the catalyst for a lot of change. I think the main example of that that can be applied to something that happened literally in the past 2 months is Reddit more or less trying to shut down or more or less shutting down third-party API access by crazily raising the prices to have access to said API while saying, oh, it's going to be reasonable, and then spending like I think 45 days not publishing the prices up until the last minute. I think developers had give or take 30 to 45 days to react when the price was announced, and they knew that there was a the API wouldn't become free, and that caused uproar in the Reddit community, which, interestingly enough, Reddit is pretty old, and I've never been a Reddit user. Even like a lot of people saying, for the past 2-3 months, Reddit, Google search has been unusable because like all the results, usually when I put a query, it would end up in Reddit. I'm like, that was rarely my experience. So, I was more or less a spectator of this, but it reminded me a lot, especially the outcry that users were giving on other network or even on Reddit itself, reminded me a lot of what we went through in January when third-party clients died on Twitter.
You know what's even funnier about the Reddit thing is that Reddit was sort of born out of the inshittification of Dig. So, like, you think they would know, especially, like, I believe the current CEO is one of the co-founders of Reddit, right? So he was around when Reddit started. He knows that, like, this is a thing that happens, is that when you do the one thing that pushes everyone away, your site dies and someone else is going to take its place. And that's half of what happened to Reddit. I can't say there are any mainstream alternatives to Reddit that have popped up in the meantime. The closest thing we have is Lemmy, which is like a Fediverse version of Reddit, which is kind of janky, honestly, from what I've had the chance to try so far. But it's not really taking off as much as Mastodon did.
Yeah, or competitors, which I'll put the pause on the competitors because we'll talk about one big one. But it is interesting to me what you just said, that there is kind of nobody pick him up from this cataclysm event, because in kind of limited preparation for this episode, as I mentioned in the intro, my week has been pretty busy so far. So I was not able to prepare that much concise, or I shouldn't say concise, but full notes for this episode. But I was looking in preparation for this, like, what's up with Reddit? Like, it's been a few weeks since I've heard anything. We're past the July 1st date, which was, I think, July 1st was the date that the new prices become the norm. And from what I gathered, it seems that there's still a lot of boycotts slash, I am blanking on the name of what they call their...
Blackouts?
The subreddits. Oh, there's right. A lot of blackouts on Reddit that are still there, and it's unclear if Reddit the company went through kicking moderators that would keep the blackouts live, because that was something that they mentioned. It's like, you're replaceable, which is even worse than what they just did literally a mere weeks before, is telling to your core user, the moderators, like, go away. So that's fun. But it seems that more or less Reddit is still a shit show, but hasn't gotten worse. So, like, this announcement lowered the bar, pissed off a lot of people, and then it seems to be not business as usual, but, like, just at that level where people know a lot of users are pissed, the company doesn't seem to budge. So that's interesting, but for sure sad for that community, because I know a lot of friends that live and die by Reddit. I was about to say the same way I used to do that for Twitter, but let's say in the same vein of what my Twitter usage used to be. Yannick mentioned competitions or new products popping up, and Facebook was rumored to be working on something. And that is also working on something to kill or replace or bring competition to a Twitter-like experience. Which is interesting. There was a lot of opinions about that. The main one, which we discussed in our previous episode from a few weeks ago about social network, which is that people building what we now know is called Threads met with popular Mastodon instance admins or moderators or whatever you want to call them, but people that manages popular instances, which I don't think was confirmed, but I think it means, like, for sure, the Mastodon.social people, which means yes. The Mastodon people.
Yes. We know they were present in those okay. meetings. Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure, but I knew a lot of people kind of implied that. But yeah, so the main reason, if you live under a rock and you're asking, Luca, why are you talking about Facebook people meeting with Mastodon people? It's because now it's been said publicly by, I forgot the name of the guy that runs Instagram that also runs Threads.
Adam Mosseri, I think his
yes,
name is.
Yes, this guy. The same one that a lot of people rage at him when Instagram moved to become like kind of TikTok with focus yeah. for video. You might remember that person from that. But they have mentioned publicly that while Threads doesn't support ActivityPub, it is one of their goals to do it. We'll see when it happens. I guess we can believe them when it happens. But right now, it seems to be something that will happen one day with no direct timelines. But the idea behind Threads is, I think the best description, it is a text-based Twitter experience with Facebook and Instagram algorithm-based timelines.
It's really funny because, like, I haven't used the Threads app, but everything I've seen of it, and especially on the web, it looks exactly like what goes under an Instagram photo. It's literally just that.
You mean like the text box and things
it's
like that?
Like the description of the photo and the comments. It's like they took that UI and they pasted it into another app and they just got rid of the photo that was on top of it. And they're like, here you go. Here's Threads. It's right. Literally an Instagram comment thread thing that they just put in there. And I mean, like, that's an easy way to start a new social network based around text, I guess. It's just, it was very jarring to me initially when I saw the screenshots and I was like, oh, okay, that's literally what they did.
Yeah, and I think the point, I understand your point, but I think the idea behind it is they want to put text as the preeminent media, because if you have either photos or videos, they go before after the text and not before, like Instagram. Like on Twitter, you see the status, or you see the description, or you see what the person has written, and then you see their media. Same thing when we post, I guess the best example is when we used to post the link for this episode as news or even on Mastodon, you see the text and then you see the media. So they seem to follow that.
Ironically, the media is still being defined as a Twitter card.
Well, ironically, yes, we haven't migrated away from that, and it seems to work because I guess it kind of is a standard that a lot of other places are using. I think I've quoted the Facebook-ish support.
Yeah, OpenGraph. So maybe that's...
Yeah, maybe that also why that helps too.
But I think the difference with the Twitter thing is that the Twitter thing had a built-in audio player for podcasts, which we do support, by the way.
Right.
And I believe that is also supported on certain Mastodon clients as well.
Ooh. Oh,
so I believe it is like actual Twitter card support.
But, we're not done with Twitter yet. So Threads launched. I forgot the date, but a few weeks ago, like around the weekend of the 4th of July. So for the US folks, it was prime time.
It was
time.
The weekend of 4th of July.
Yeah, I said it so because I wasn't sure if it was on the 4th of the July or after, but my memory was it is a bit after, like the 5th or something like that. But you're correct. So they launched, I would say with great fanfare.
But... I think you're leaving out an important detail.
Okay.
What happened on the weekend that Threads went live?
I guess I blanked out because... and that's okay.
I guess you weren't on Twitter, which is why you didn't hear about what happened on Twitter the weekend.
Oh, yeah, come on. Okay. I know I wanted to start about like kind of the timeline of the past 6 months, but it has been so much of a mess that no, I remember, and... Before I say what it is, to tease it even more longer, this is a common point with all those social networks and all the juggling and all those new ones and all moving from one to the other is everybody talks about social network on all the social network. So I think now you're referring to the fact that Twitter decided that you now require to be logged in to see content, and that DDoS itself. Was that it?
I don't think that those two things are directly related, but yeah, there was a combination of three things. So there was, you need to be logged in to see tweets, which was done in response to there being a bug in the website that would accidentally DDoS Twitter.com, which is hilarious. And then on top of that, apparently Twitter decided to stop paying Google Cloud, which meant they had to implement a rate limit, so you could only look at 600 tweets in a single day, which, like, I do that in, like, 15 minutes.
I forgot it was because they didn't pay their GCP bills.
Yeah. They had to, like, spin down a bunch of stuff and bring it to in-house infrastructure, and it took them longer than they expected, so they had a period where they were just running on super low capacity, and there were a ton of crashes that weekend as well. And that was basically the trigger that led to Instagram fast-tracking the release of Threads, because it was going to launch later, but they were like, this is an opportunity we need to jump on right the fuck now.
Right. And you know what? We had a lot of strong comments regarding Facebook on this podcast for a few years, but this was genius. Like, just... If we ignore Facebook, how evil they are. Like, I don't want you to focus on that. I know it's hard, but put it aside. But put yourself into the mindset of you're a product manager. You need to launch something. And you see your competitor literally destroying themselves. It's like perfect opportunity. Like, no developers, I know you want to continue coding this feature and that feature. And yes, we have shit ton of bugs, but there's a market opportunity. And if Threads go somewhere, and that's because they decided to ship. It's unclear to me if it was a month before or few months, because I've heard contracted information. A lot of people were saying they wanted to ship like end of July, early August. A lot of people were saying, oh, maybe closer to not fall, but September, mid-September, when everybody's off vacation, like they're back to normal life with school and everything. So it's unclear to me right now how many weeks did they fast track this launch, but great business move. That's more or less what I'm trying to say here. Great business move. Doesn't downplay all the evil things that Facebook has done in the past.
My understanding is that they were going to launch it later this summer and that they were going to launch ActivityPub support in 3 months.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. So that it would, if, again, that's one point I want to discuss later. If ActivityPub support really comes in, we'll see in a few months. But that would have mean, like, let's say it launches like late August and then maybe during the fall they would have it.
Yeah.
Interesting. So after the launch, it took them literally 7 days to go from zero users to 100 million users, which is quite a feat. And that doesn't include Europe, because they decided because of European laws that, nope, we don't launch in Europe right now. Unclear again, a bit like ActivityPub support. Will they at some point? Who knows? I assume they would. And one comment that I found interesting, which was in relation to all of those news, it was on the Decoder podcast. It was mentioned that, I think it was a previous quote of Zuckerberg saying that, yeah, we, like, for something to be a social network to be successful, we need 1 billion users.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were discussing that in relation to, A, it took them like a week to go to 100 million. And I found this comment pretty interesting, because like, if that's their goal with Threads, to have more or less a mini Facebook, that's more or less what 1 billion user is. It is an interesting goal, because that was never the size of Twitter ever. And it would mean that it would be like what? It would become the third or second biggest social network if it goes to a billion in the next few weeks or next few months.
I think you have to exclude all of China's internal stuff, but yeah, probably.
Oh, I would have put one of the China ones number one, and then Facebook, and then them. That was my kind of ballpark.
There are multiple Chinese ones that would go on top of Facebook, probably, but.
Okay, possibly. Again, I am not well versed into all the social network available for the Chinese market, but I digress. But yeah, so now we're at the beginning of the month. What am I forgetting? So there was this, it was the launch, there was Twitter continuing to fuck up, and then it comes to this week where. Yesterday or a couple of days ago, you sent me a link from The Verge that TikTok is now adding text posts. Kind of, I guess, it's their videos with text and music. It's like, okay, trying to, I guess, riff off the text-based stuff like it never existed, which I guess is interesting. Funny aside, when you sent me this, Yannick, a lot, again, I'm not a TikTok user, but I'm a... Through Tony, I'm a TikTok user because Tony uses a lot of TikTok. And sometimes like people have story times. Like they tell a story and they put shitty video and then they put caption. And I'm like, okay, that's why they're creating the text post. It's just for those story times. Like, and literally, Tony listens to those sometimes and I'm like, what was the purpose of posting that on TikTok? Like, that story is kind of like, okay, you want me to agree with you? Voila. But I digress.
Have you seen the completely unhinged TikTok NPC streams? Has Tony introduced you to that?
I don't think it ended up on his For You page yet. So, or if it did, I didn't see it.
There's no way he doesn't know about it. If I know about it and I don't use TikTok, he has to know about it. Ask him about NPC streams and see how he reacts.
Okay, I will. So there's that, but that's quite small. And then we come to the Twitter redesign, rebranding to the X app, whatever X something. Yeah. I really don't know what to say more than that. I think Twitter is just destroying itself, and then that's that.
But like we saw this coming from a mile away, and I think that's kind of what's interesting about Threads jumping on the opportunity and what kind of the difference is with Reddit, right? Is that Reddit's destruction essentially happened overnight. It was like nobody saw it coming from long ago. It just kind of happened all of a sudden, and nobody wanted to use Reddit anymore because they were dumping support for third-party clients or whatever. And that meant that there were no established alternatives to Reddit that were really like ready to go at the moment that people were mad at Reddit, which is part of why there was no like immediate switch like there was for Mastodon. Like Mastodon had been around for years before Elon even showed up into the picture. And right. It was just there waiting for people to sign up.
Yeah, literally.
And you didn't have this slow roll of train wreck after train wreck at Reddit. So you couldn't have Facebook prepare new Reddit for everyone that they could serve on a platter the second that Apollo gets yeeted out of the App Store. And I think that's the main difference between those two scenarios. It's not that the actions were particularly different or anything like that. It's just a question of how slowly are you rolling out your fuck ups?
Right. I guess in quote unquote Reddit's defense, it's been what, 2 months since they announced this? It's been 2 months since they announced the price,
exactly,
the official prices, not the API. The API is not gonna no longer be free. So in theory, they're literally to Twitter circa fall last year. So they still have plenty of time to create drama and fuck up again, right? It's just their first one. So
yeah, I mean, maybe 9 months from now, we're going to be talking about like, oh, everybody moved to Lemmy because Reddit did another dumb, stupid thing and it just happened to be there and everyone jumped to it because it was the most attractive thing, despite its flaws. And we might be having that conversation. I'm not entirely convinced of it. I think Reddit users, even though like there are still blackouts in a lot of subreddits, I think a lot of people have just returned to Reddit, and Reddit have, for at least the most prominent subreddits, effectively kicked out the moderators that were interested in keeping blackouts going. So
that happened.
Yeah. So for a lot of people, Reddit is just back as usual.
Yeah. Okay. So that is something I was not like, I assumed that happened. That's why there was kind of no mention, but I was expecting a bit or a bigger uproar when those kind of moderators would get kicked out, but I guess either I'm not in the right circle to see that, or that didn't really happen. But I digress. So I guess now we're present day when we record. Hopefully nothing happens while we record, or in the few days before we record and then we release.
Knowing Elon, it will be tomorrow morning at like 9 a.m. that something horrible is going to happen.
So I'll start with the, I guess, the nerd side in me likes that there's a lot of changes happening in that part of tech. Is change good? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But I think that the fact that there is competition, there is quote unquote, and I put like here, it's like, don't worry, it's in big scare quotes, innovation or kind of movement is what I'm trying to say. It's not that something new is coming. It's more that there are different ideas being thrown around and people are trying to see if it sticks, right? To kind of go back to what I was saying about Facebook literally saying, hey, we want our next social network tour or next social network initiative to be 1 billion users initiatives. Like, I don't want to say it's a noble goal, but I don't think it is, but it is kind of like, okay, like if that's your goal, you need to put a lot of the weight of the company behind that to achieve that. So interesting to see how it evolves. So that's the aspect, I mean, as a tech nerd, I am enlightened, or not enlightened, but I'm excited about this because there's going to be a lot of competition. There's going to be a lot of the same actors are competing more directly than they used to do. But at the same time, we're going to see a lot of changes. I don't want to say evolution because, again, I'm not sure if it's going to be for the good or for the bad, but that's the positive side I see right now. The downsides, though, and that has been putting a bit more strain in me, again, like I mentioned, this week has been pretty crazy, mainly at work. So usually when I want to cool off from work, social network is part of this. I don't want to consume too much time. But with all the creation of those new networks, I'm moving for this for sure. Like, you can say that moving to Mastodon was a neutral move. We minus one Twitter and plus one Mastodon. And that's it. For sure, I didn't start to look at TikTok or Reddit and things like that. But adding threads on top of Instagram and on top of a bit of Facebook, something I've mentioned in a lot of previous episodes, like, sadly, Facebook groups still exists. And they're here in Quebec and I would say even in North America. One of the quote-unquote easiest way for a community to exist when it's a mix of online and in real life. People tend to navigate through Facebook products for this. So yes, we still have to deal with Facebook. But while the concept is not new, but I guess the implementation of that concept is novel with Threads, it's yet another social network. And it's funny, because those are the one that I consider mainstream because they are targeting everybody. You're a car dude. You're a car person, excuse me. You're a tech person. You're a cooking person. You're a photo person. Like, you can find your own sub-community in all of those social networks. It's not a social network dedicated to a good example, to photography, right? That's kind of what something that happened with Instagram with their push to video, is like a lot of people start to create their own photo social network to replace Instagram. And then we end up with like five. And it was hard to follow because you had one person there, or you wanted to, if I take a personal example, you wanted to be on the one that is for the film community. And then you realize that, yeah, and then you realize that a lot of people went there kind of like, oh yeah, it's cool, and then disappeared. So this is a part that I feel is creating a lot of burden, is you want to be everywhere and nowhere at the same time, so that I guess you're at the right place for when something sticks. But it does create a lot of burden right now, because let's say I have to post about the podcast. Let's say I want to promote this episode. I'm really proud. I'm always proud of our episodes, but let's say I'm prouder of this episode that we're recording and I want to promote it to my friends on social network. I would have to post it on Mastodon, I would have to post it on Threads, I would have to post it on Facebook, on Instagram, on whatever. Like, it becomes quite a burden to manage and to follow. And for sure, I think that already happened. Like, even by when moving to Mastodon, some people stayed on Twitter. Like, there's a couple of... I think the best example I can give you is I received a few DMs from people from in real life, people that I haven't met in the past few years because of the pandemic, that were like, hey, what's up? We need to talk about the social event. I was like, oh, I just saw your Twitter DM, like literally 45 days later. Yeah. Sorry. But that's what I mean, is with this proliferation of social network, you'll always have one or two friends that want to be on that one.
Yeah.
So you have to be there.
Also, it's like, I was talking to Richard about this week because... we frequently just talk about this stuff because, like, I think I'm the only one who sort of has picked, like, this is my hole. I'm going to stay in this hole and you guys can do whatever you want. So I primarily main the Fediverse, and I dabble every time to time on co-host. And I honestly don't really have any interest in Threads, mainly because I think once the activity pub floodgates open, if that ever happens, I'll be able to have my cake and eat it too. I won't have to use a shitty Facebook app, and I'll be able to follow my friends, my normie friends in Japan who are all gravitating towards Threads. So, like, that's my ideal scenario. I don't know how that's going to play out because of all the drama around should we let Facebook into the Fediverse and stuff like that. I think... positively for me, I primarily want to be on Threads to interact with Japanese friends, and Japanese instances do not seem to give a fuck about letting Facebook in. So I have a Japanese account as of this week on a Japanese Mastodon instance. So I I probably won't be restricted for that. So that's good for me. But there is definitely like fragmentation, and I think different subcultures are going to experience it in different ways. I know like Richard was talking about all of their friends are going to Blue Sky, and I'm like, I don't know a single fucking person who's on Blue Sky that I care about. Like, I have no reason to be there. I know it's a big deal in quotes, but I have no reason to be there really other than like to reserve my name or whatever.
Right.
So I think it's a really interesting time, but I think like at a certain point, it's going to be sad to some extent, but the people who have more clout, both in terms of literally and also clout score, they can just decide where they want to be. And if people care that much about them, people are going to change networks for them. And this is the thing I have with certain friends of mine who are still sticking to Twitter, because they're like, well, everyone's there. And I'm like, if you coordinate with your friends and you say, hey, we are going to be most comfortable here, and you move around the same time, your audiences will move with you because you have power with the network effect. I see too many people who have that kind of network power not moving because they're like, but my audience is all there. And I'm like, I have literally a tenth of the followers on Mastodon than I used to on Twitter. And I get more engagement on almost all of my posts. Like, it's unreal. Since I've started posting Swansong videos to co-host, like, my mm-hmm. channel is popping off. And I've never seen as many views on my videos as I have, because the audience on co-host really likes that stuff. So I think, like, people are overstating the network effect of Twitter because they're seeing a big number. But the big number, like, honestly, you have to go back there and see, like, how many of those accounts are still even active. Like, does your follower number even really matter that right. much? And I think the people who are on Mastodon and, let's say, co-host, because those are the two I watch, those people tend to be looking for social networks that they enjoy being on, and therefore they are more invested in what they see on it. And I think that's what attracts me to those networks. And I see threads and I just see, oh, it's another Twitter. My posts are going to be lost amongst a sea of brands. And I'm just going to get ignored like I did on Twitter by most people. And I'm like, I'd rather just be on the other social networks because they feel more aligned with my values.
You bring up a good point about engagement, because I would totally agree with you. And on the fact that, let's say, for example, on Mastodon, big people and even small people like you and I could see more engagement. You see more engagement. Again, I don't post too much on Mastodon, so that's my problem. But a good example of engagement, which is also coming with the burden of going back to dealing with social network now that we have more options, but kind of back to what I think we discussed a year ago when I was talking about my dread of using Twitter and kind of like slowly pulling back before all of that happened, is you recommended that, or you reminded me that Mastodon support following hashtags.
Yeah.
Without going to the explorer, like if you follow an hashtag, they end up in your timeline, which you was like, hey, Luko, there's a great community for that. There's a great community behind the hashtag called Believe in Film from the film community. So I was like, yes, I'll follow it. Oh boy. Don't get me wrong, great content, but oh boy.
It's a lot.
Going back to the engagement, people are engaged in those new platforms, whether it is the renewed interest on Mastodon or threads and things like that. People want to kind of move away from quote-unquote the traditional, I'll call them, with Twitter, Facebook. I could even consider Reddit at that point, and those, maybe not Tumblr, because Tumblr is Tumblr, but... it seems that people are excited, a bit like what I was mentioning a bit before, like they're excited about those new platforms, but they feel that they see more content, they see more of the people they want to follow because of this reset. They might not have the issue with the follower list where you have a shit ton of followers that does nothing, people are active. So you end up with a lot of noise. And while I kind of wish I had maybe your judgment call of saying like, okay, no, I'm sticking to Mastodon and I'm kind of getting quote unquote lost into the frenzy that is all of those new services.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things, so this is going to expose an implementation detail about how the Fediverse works. So you're on Mastodon.social, which I'm pretty sure is the biggest Mastodon instance. Like, I don't know this for a fact, but it seems fairly likely, especially now that it's the default in the official app.
Right, that's my understanding too.
Yeah, and that means that it is probably one of the most federated instances, meaning it connects with as many instances as humanly possible. On Icosahedron.net website, if I was to subscribe to the Believe in Film hashtag, my view of what would come in for that hashtag would be limited to all of the servers with which people on my server interact regularly, right? And because you're on Mastodon.social, the list of servers is much, 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 much larger than what mine is, probably, because there are just, like, I think there are 100 active accounts on Icosahedron.website, right? Mm-hmm. So there are lots less people contributing to the list of servers that we're federating with, and therefore we get much, like, if I go to the federated timeline, like, sometimes I can actually afford to spend the day reading the federated timeline of everything happening on all the instances we're connected with. Whereas I think that would be hell on Mastodon.social. Yeah. I probably wouldn't be able to keep up, right? So I think, like, choosing a smaller instance where you have people with good judgment, like, the federated timeline sort of becomes a view into, like, what do people on this instance follow outside of our little bubble? And I think that's a really interesting idea, and sometimes it's really, really fun to see that. But it also means that when you follow a hashtag, you get a lot more noise than I do. So that's sort of the implementation detail I want to point out, is anytime you look at someone's follower list through the API of your instance, you're seeing the ones that are known to your instance. But if you go to their instance website, you see the actual list of followers, and sometimes you get weird interactions like that. Like, sometimes there are replies that don't show up. Right. And similar kind of thing where your view is sort of filtered through what your instance knows about. Otherwise, it would just be a massive hellscape of HTTP requests launching left and right every single time you click on anything. So it makes sense why they do it this way. But it also means that if you're on a big instance, you get a lot more stuff. Right. It's good and bad.
And just to ensure that I understand it correctly, it doesn't mean that the server you're in as defederated that other server. It's just that because nobody is following anybody on that instance C, let's call it this way, where Mastodon Social, you're the instance you're in, and then this other instance. Whereas because anybody in Mastodon Social that follows somebody in instance C means that those two instances are talking to each other, so I can see those posts. Yep. Whereas it was an implementation detail I was not aware of. I thought that any instance that's like shouting into the void that is ActivityPub would see the post.
Nope.
Even if you don't follow anybody. But, interesting. So, are you trying to suggest I should move to a smaller instance?
Not specifically. I mean, like, if it's a pain point for you that you see too much stuff and you want to reduce that number, like, that is an option.
I'm giving you a hard time right now. I know you were not implying that, but still.
Besides, if you want to federate with Threads, you probably should stay on Mastodon.social because a lot of the smaller instances won't let you.
Right. So I guess we'll see. Well, again,
future I'll discussion.
I won't put a public bet or anything because I am not sure if they'll do it. There's been a lot of comparison when, like, I guess Google Talk and XMPP and even Facebook chat was based on XMPP. Like, I still get the same vibe, so I understand why nerds bring this argument back again if it's not exactly the same situation. So,
well, I also want to add the new news, which is that Facebook has joined the ActivityPub Council or whatever their, like, consortium is for, like, people who write the ActivityPub spec, and, like, this has generated more drama in the last few weeks because of course it did. Where people are just like, we should just reject every single proposal that Facebook makes out of principle, because if they're allowed to have stuff get put into the spec, they will abuse of it. And reading through the lines, there is a compelling case, which is, if you look at what Google has done with web standards, they basically just contribute so many fucking stupid web standards.
And we've talked about a bunch of them on this podcast.
Yes, yes. And I have to deal with a bunch of them, sadly, semi-regularly yes. in my job. And it's just like they swamp the web standards with so much dumb shit, and they have so much of a presence in the web standards community that they can basically pass whatever they want. And if they don't pass it, they'll just put it in Chrome anyway, and they'll use it in their products, and then they'll use that as an argument to get people to switch to Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a big risk that Facebook, which has a lot of engineering power and can easily outnumber the smaller players on the ActivityPub consortium, can basically just use this to pass whatever features they want. And then when they say, oh, the other ActivityPub implementations just aren't implementing our features fast enough, maybe we should defederate, it gives them an easy out, right? So
right.
I see that scenario. At the same time, I think not letting them pass anything is a little bit extreme. Like, if something makes sense, let them implement it, but don't just go putting stamps all over their shit and saying yes, because that is also a problem. As usual, lots of nuances lost on the internet. What else is new?
Yeah, and I think part of that too, I can get behind this argument that, yeah, they're a big corpo, they have a shit ton, or I guess some might say too much developers.
Yes.
And then they can influence the spec because, hey, they're the one that's going to be implementing it, so who cares? And while I see the comparison with Chrome, I think up to a certain extent, what has helped is, I guess, Apple's presence. I'm not saying Apple should be on ActivityPub, but somebody of the size of Apple has enough market share to be like, yeah, that's dumb, so we're not going to do it here. Like, you can do it on Chrome, but not on Safari.
This is especially topical this week with the whole new, I don't know if you saw this go by, but the new Chrome DRM that they want to implement, which is basically
you can't
use ad blockers because we're going to validate that you're using an untampered installation of Chrome or whatever. And it's like,
really?
Yeah, yeah, that was the drama of the week this week. I see all the drama.
I don't know how. I seriously don't know how. I guess maybe that's part of being on a small instance.
No. It's I spend too much time on Hacker News. That's my problem.
I see.
Yeah. Don't go there. They have horrible ideas like making window managers with Electron. It's horrible.
Oh, no. Who has this idea? Oh, Yannick, you're ruining us even more now. Oh.
Yeah, I know. But yeah. Yeah. So that's the drama update for Threads this week.
Okay. I like that because you mentioned window manager written in Electron, you literally lost your train of thought. That was quite funny.
That was the really disturbing thing yesterday. It's like I was scrolling through Hacker News and there were like two threads relatively close to each other. One of them was, should we bring mental asylums back? And the other one was, hey, I made an Electron window manager for X window system. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to close the window now and go work.
Good call. I'll kind of go back, bring this back to having a good question for you. Is there any other social network? I started the podcast mentioning, quote unquote, I want to talk about mainstream social
network.
Nice
setup. I'm glad you asked.
Because I was saying that we were forgetting one thing you mentioned specifically before we started to record. So.
Right. So people may remember that I mentioned Co-host on the last social network episode we did. Co-host is essentially just Tumblr, except it's like burgundy instead of dark blue. It is run by people who do not like capitalism very much, which is very much in vogue these days. And basically their thing is, we don't want to put ads on our site. We don't really want to deal with any outside funding as much as possible. We have a single investor and they basically just give us as much money as we want. And the only collateral we have is the source code for the entire website. So if this one fails, they can run away with the source code and start something new. And they are sometimes too transparent about everything that happens over there. And one of the things that they did recently is they put out, I believe this was the June or May financial update, in which they essentially said, like, this doesn't look sustainable at all. Fuck, we might not make it to the end of July. So that was not very encouraging. And of course, like, everyone on GoHost absolutely loves it. And a lot of, or at least most of the people, like, I'm trying to exclude myself here. It's too Tumblr brained for me. Like, I can't, I don't understand how the Tumblr kids do it. It's not how I want to use a social network, but there are a lot of cool people there posting cool things. And so I mostly just read. But yeah, so they were like, our business does not seem to be sustainable. Now, there was a very good analysis that came out later, which was like, well, yeah, you keep mentioning that you keep deprioritizing the features that are going to be making you money in favor of dumb shit that doesn't, it's just fun shit. It's not actually shit that is going to make you money. So yeah, no wonder it's not sustainable, because you're not actually making the revenue generating features you promised in your roadmap.
Wow.
Fair point. But yeah, so that came out a couple of months ago, and they also added a quick feature that allows you to subscribe to CoHost Plus, which is their subscription thing, multiple times. So if you really, really like CoHost, now you can just pay five times as much just because you want to. So a lot of people started boosting up their CoHost Plus subscriptions to multiple because they believe in the website, and like, that's cool if you can afford it. I don't think everyone on the website can afford it though, and I don't think that's necessarily a sustainable thing.
Right.
I personally joined CoHost Plus just because I think I'm it doesn't gravitate with how I want to use a social network, but I'm happy that someone is doing something like this for the people who do. So I decided to put, like, I think it's $5 a month or whatever to just support them. Anyway, I get some cool features that I'm basically never going to use because I only really just post swan song videos in the podcast.
Nice.
But yeah. And then they posted a more recent financial update where they essentially said, posting and being transparent about our finances actually really helped us get more money from you guys. And we're realizing now that there are certain ways of doing ads that you have suggested as the community that we are not uncomfortable with, like Daring Fireball style, like either deck format ads or in-feed ads that are like curated by the owners of the website and not just like shitty banner ads. So there is a possibility, they haven't committed to anything yet, but there is a possibility that this may be coming to CoHost down the line. So, yeah, there was a big scare where CoHost could have died, like, literally at the end of the month. And now it's coasting, but I don't know for how long. And that's kind of... I'm sad for the people who really, really like it, because it's a cozy community and all that stuff. But at the same time, like, I'm not super excited about using it.
Which is a stark contrast to another less mainstream or kind of a more... I don't know how to describe it, but I am on, in May, my second year of Glass, the photo social network, got renewed. And I was like, yeah, I had enjoyed what I paid for the last year, so for sure. And it's super cheap. In Canadian dollar, I think it's like $35 per year, so it's pretty cheap. And recently, they've launched their patron tier, which I think now it's a bit more expensive in Canadian dollars. I think $130 per year. So it's pretty expensive just on the... on the scale of everything, $130 per year is not that big, but on the scale of other social network you just mentioned, CoHost is like $5 per month, right? It's, I don't want to say steep, but a bit higher. But I think they're doing it, they're pretty transparent, saying, A, we assume that the patron are really the fans of our social network and the endeavor we're building, and B, to thank you about that, we'll give you a couple of nice functionality, like being a part of the early access group. So right now, they've also launched their early access to their Explore tab, which they use a lot of AI. Oh, it's AI based, blah, blah, blah. So it seems to be, I don't know if it's algorithm based, meaning that the more people look at it, they've been pretty vague about that part. But they've been pretty clear that it is AI-based. So we shall see. But it is pretty interesting to have those smaller social network trying to put a dent either in their style of social network, which is the way I would describe Coase. I don't think it is focus on a specific topic, community. It's a different style of social network. Or like Glass, they're focused on the photo community, not even the video community. They just post photo, and they're trying to put a dent in that market. And I think it is, if you can, for sure, use them. Try to. If you believe in what they're trying to do, I would think support them. But they are also another big aspect into why I'm maybe a bit on too much social networks, not spending too much time, which that happens too because now there's too much stuff to catch up on. But I'm trying to wheel this back in, realizing that, yeah, when we had this big discussion about leaving Twitter a few years ago and then taking an hiatus and things like, that was really important. And I'm starting to see that it's conflicting with that part again, even if the nerd in me is pretty excited that we have an explosion of social network to explore and then promote and then see if they'll be there in three or four months.
Yeah, I have a couple more notes I want to mention about the sustainability argument for co-hosts. So the first thing is, I was around for app.net. App.net
I forgot about that.
A paid-only Twitter-like service, and it was not sustainable with, like, a sizable chunk of the Apple community on it, which is kind of shocking, which is why when I saw co-host, my thing was like, okay, so you're trying to do app.net with more text, more multimedia, and a free user tier, and they couldn't get it to work when everybody paid $100 a year. So I was like, I don't think this is going to be sustainable. So I had like that feeling going into it. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, of course, like the difference in demographics between co-host and Glass is pretty obvious, right? Co-host is mainly queer furries, and
okay, so that's their demographic. I wasn't sure if they had a demographic.
I mean, it is ostensibly a social network for everyone, but it just happens to be extremely popular with queer furries. So, I mean, okay. Like, who am I to judge? But queer furries tend to be a much more struggling demographic than professional photographers who want to show up their fancy pictures that they took with their fancy several $1,000 cameras, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is a much higher likelihood that that Glass can be sustainable at its price points than co-host is when people are struggling to make rent regularly.
I echo your point. I for sure echo your point that by focusing on a different community, that might help make them sustainable. While my understanding is they're not as transparent as co-host on their financial, the podcast that is made by their, I forgot their exact title, but their marketing person. They mentioned a few times that the few employees they have, I think they're three or four, like even he's talking about himself and saying like, hey, you know, like I could make more money elsewhere, but here I believe in the goal of what we're doing, right? So I would assume behind those statements that they're like, they're still in need of money and things like that, but they don't want VC and things like that. So they're figuring out their business model to ensure that their employees are well paid. At least they're paid, but maybe not market value well paid is, I think, the implication that the comments mention on their podcast. I don't know why, but I'm blanking on the name.
Yeah, I can't remember either. But yeah, you want to have enough money to pay the bills and then to hopefully have a nice enough camera that your photos don't look embarrassing on Glass.
Agreed. And the name I was looking for is Endless Appreciation. It's kind of like related to Glass, but just because it's Daniel Agi, I think I pronounced his last name correctly, is, again, the marketing person for the Glass Photo Social Network. Yeah, so lots of updates, lots of things happening. Where do I see the next few months? I think it's time to raise our glass for Twitter. I think that's pretty agreed now. It's like, Twitter's going to disappear.
It's going to be X now anyway, so.
Exactly. Twitter is dead for sure. So what the fuck will happen with X and that everything app, like minus thing is a la WeChat. I don't care. Nobody seems to care except Elon and his fans. So we shall see. I'm pretty eager to see. Right now, my thinking is to compare to what you mentioned about Mastodon being your, I was about to say your unique point of focus, but I think your main point of focus, which may be leaving, like, let's say 25% of the, let's say, if we put time allocated, like, let's say 75-80% of the time will be focused on Mastodon stuff, and then the rest will be the other social network. I think mine will be more split of, like, Mastodon will be the place where I would always consume a lot of content, like, a bit like my past 15 years on Twitter, give or take. It's like, I consume. I, being somewhat active on both Glass and Instagram, kind of as, you're not surprised that I'm doing a lot of photography these days. So I'm eager to see how can I bring this over to Mastodon, but at the same time, I don't want to post the photos at three different social network, going back to the dread of managing too much social network. So that's kind of where I am right now. Who knows what will happen with Threads? I think they've been pretty reactive on feedback. They've already have an app update that you can have your list of a chronological timeline. Instagram has that too, but you need to know where it is because it's hidden.
It also doesn't really work how I want it to work.
True, which I guess what you want it to work is the way Tweetbot slash Ivory works.
Yes. Well, there's another thing specifically for Threads. I was reading about this on Japanese Mastodon yesterday, actually. The following view is very strange because it's literally just your followers. Like, if someone reposts something, or I don't know what the terminology is on Threads, but if they retweet something, you don't see it because it is not by someone you follow, and therefore it is excluded. So they're like, if someone replies to someone you don't follow, that does not get included in the feed. Personally, I'm fine with that because I don't like having a bunch of noise of people having conversations in my feed. But like, people were saying, like, this is not helping me discover anything. It's just literally the posts that are made by the people I follow and nothing else. So I think there's kind of an issue with that, and it doesn't remember where you were last time, or it does it in the weird Instagram way, which is like, if you scroll down far enough, it tells you you're caught up, and then it goes to shit, because that's just how Instagram does chronological feeds. So like, that's infuriating to me. But at the same time, I'm like, just open the activity pub floodgate. Oh my god, that's hard to say. And then I'll just follow people on my Japanese Mastodon instead.
Which I wouldn't be surprised that's what is going to happen. It is interesting because this week I have a friend that texted me. I think he was still using Twitter at this point. And he was like, okay, no, with the X app, I'm done with Twitter. I'm like, okay.
That was your trigger?
Yes, welcome to the club, A. And B is like, we're still on Twitter? Again, I don't really know what he was looking at. I know he's a bit more of a sports fan than I am, which compared to what I am as a sports fan, which means literally zero. He's big into soccer. Maybe that's because of this. I don't know. But he more or less texted me. He's like, okay, I'm done with Twitter. What's up with Mastodon? I'm like, ooh, you want to talk about Mastodon? So that was an interesting conversation over iMessage with Tony and his girlfriend in the conversation, which was funny because Tony was like, oh, nerds. So that was funny. So I'm eager to see if more friends will talk about the other options. But now that Thread is around, I don't think so. The Mastodon will be the quote-unquote nerds option.
Yeah.
Whatever your nerd definition is. For me, it's the iOS dev community nerds or the film community nerds that are not in Instagram or anything else. I wouldn't be surprised that Threads will be slowly but surely kind of be replacing Twitter as the digital town hall. Like, Will the city of Montreal tweet about things or post about things on Threads versus Twitter about their news or about emergency things and that you could do with Twitter? We shall see.
I can't say much, but I will say that I was in a meeting with a client who said we are going to be promoting our product on Threads this week.
Wow. I'm not surprised. Like, it's booming, and it's booming, I think. If there is one social network of the new ones we've discussed, this is the only one I would not put quote-unquote mainstream. I think this one is literally mainstream. And
oh, yeah.
It's literally 25 days old, not even. So that's that.
Before we stop talking about Threads, though, I have one question for you, which is, how do you feel about like their stance about like this is not a news platform? Because I feel like that's not really for them to decide.
It is interesting because if there is quote unquote one community I miss from the people I were following was a bit of that. I was following a couple of Quebecers journalists or a couple of political team journalists. Like, what I mean by that is like talking about elections or talking about what's happening in our Quebec or Canadian government. So I'm eager to see if those will move. A lot of the more, I want to call them indie or more independent one, maybe contractors from a newspaper or a news company here, they would kind of like be, okay, I quit Twitter. I don't care that my corporation is still on Twitter. Like, I won't post on mine. So I'm eager to see if those people will move to Threads, because that would explain what you discern is even if... The Facebook people are like, we're not a news platform. If journalists start posting on it, it will become news, right? My understanding by this is they won't tweak the algorithm to promote this, which was, I think, a big pillar of Twitter early on. And to this day, but like...
And Facebook, the Facebook news feed, actually, like some of the most controversial changes were with regards to inserting more news content in there.
Yeah, I was only comparing it with Twitter, but you're correct too with the Facebook feed.
Yeah.
So, I guess I'm not sure if that answered your question, though.
I heard somewhere like Facebook pissed off the news industry so many times that I think they're just saying that they're not a news platform just so news platforms don't like feel baited into joining it again, and then they feel duped whenever it turns out to be bad for news people.
Right, and I don't want to turn this episode into Canadian politics, but yeah. Yes, there is a big push for big tech companies to contribute to our Canadian news finance. I wouldn't be surprised that it's semi-related to those legislation going around through the world, including Canada.
Definitely.
So I think overall... I am excited and overwhelmed. I think if you want me to do a two-word TLDR for this episode, is excited and overwhelmed. And for sure, this feeling of this overwhelming feeling, I need to tone it down with, hey, let's not spend 3 hours on social network before going to bed. We've discussed that in previous episode. That's not sustainable for mental health either, in my opinion. So I need to focus my energy on some. And funnily enough, and I'll end on that. I was watching a photography YouTube channel, and the person was talking about tips or tricks to kind of promote yourself or kind of put yourself out there. And one of hers was stick to one. Like, she said, I post video building tools and I'm on Instagram. So I stick to that and that's it. So it was interesting to watch this video this week. And again, it was maybe a few days old. But again, these days, a few days old might be mean weeks or months compared to normal times. But that was the idea. That was the thinking behind her tip is, yes, there's a lot of shiny new toys on social network, but if our tip was for growing your audience, but I think for normal people that just want to not be overwhelmed, I think it's a good tip too. Like, focus to one and be okay with maybe having less access to less information, not access less, but like you mentioned, there are certain friends or certain people that if they're not where I am, sucks to be them, but I won't follow what they do. And I'm okay with this.
Yeah. For me, the biggest thing is that Japan basically doesn't care that Elon Musk is running Twitter into the ground. This goes to the whole Japanese bubble thing, which is like Japan has very little awareness about what actually happens outside of Japan. Even though they know the names of the people who are running things, they are just considered as celebrities and their actions have no real bearing on anything. The results speak more than actions, and as far as results, they see Elon Musk, they see a rich person, he must be doing good. This was the same attitude they had about Trump, so I'm not entirely surprised, but that is just how Japanese media works, and it's the downside of a lot of that stuff. There is going to be a lot of friction to actually get people off of Twitter, which is why things like that weekend when the rate limit and the offline stuff happened, and it was a massively worse experience for everyone who was still on Twitter. That was the perfect moment for Threads to launch and to actually like steal a certain number of normie people from Twitter in Japan. And I think that was the biggest impact. But I can only point to like 4 or 5 of my 50 friends who actually jumped ship, and everyone else is still on Twitter. Hmm. And that sucks. I really hope Japan wakes up soon. but I don't know. The other thing I will mention, though, is that Japan sort of has their alternate version of the Fediverse.
Oh.
There are like 2 big Fediverse apps. Well, there are 3, technically. There's Mastodon, which is the popular one here. There's Pleroma, which is mired in controversy because the person who wrote Pleroma is a horrible person, but the software itself is fine. And then there's Miski, which is a Japanese-developed Fediverse application, which is kind of insane, but also really cool. And Miski is taking off right now in Japan as well. So a lot of people are joining the Fediverse, and they're not joining a Mastodon instance, they're joining a Miski instance, but because they're speaking the same language, I can just follow people on Miski with no problem.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
That is cool. The thing that's not cool, though, is because Japan's child pornography laws are kind of fucking crazy, a lot of Japanese instances are just not allowed to federate with Western servers because people don't want that shit in their federated timeline, which is understandable, but it also means it's very hard to actually communicate with other Japanese people on whatever instance they happen to be on, unless you're on a Japanese instance, which doesn't apply that standard of moderation, which is incredibly awkward to talk about because it's very complicated and it makes you sound like a horrible person. Miski also defaults to blocking the entire EU, which because of GDPR. Japan doesn't really understand how GDPR works, so instead of understanding how it works, they just block the EU.
Wow, sure. Hey, in theory, that's a trend solution. But they're not blocked. They're just like not on the App Store.
Yeah, the only problem is the instance I am on is hosted in Germany, which is in the EU, which means I couldn't follow my friend who was on a Miski instance because the server was in the EU. So I had to make a Japanese account because I could. Otherwise, I literally couldn't follow my friend because the EU was just not available to communicate. And that sucks. But whatever. Now I have a Japanese account. I don't have to worry about much. But yeah, Japan causing trouble as usual.
Okay, and you know what? It's a good way to end this episode because it does show my point, which is there's still so much overwhelming stuff ahead of us. So I guess stay safe, be careful, and try to find a sane way to enjoy that mess.
Yeah.
And that's it for me.
All right. This is the last episode before our hiatus, and you can find all the show notes for it at limitlesspossibility.net/211, or you can find the entire back catalog of our episodes if you're really bored during vacation at limitlesspossibility.net. Actually, if you go to the About page, you can see our top recommended episodes for people who are just getting into the podcast, because we did a lot of cool episodes about shit that doesn't age.
Which, it's a good reminder that we should need to update it, too.
But yeah, I think we have like 50 more episodes or 150 more episodes than last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's going on. You can find us on the Fediverse, speak of the devil, at limpo underscore podcast at mastodon.social. I am at Socarina at icosahedron.website, and Nick Olivier is at
Luco at mastodon.social.
And we'll see you in a month and a half.
Yeah, I was about to see you in 2 weeks, but no. Enjoy this time to enjoy your backlog, and then we will be back in September.